Welcome to Post-Status Draft, the official podcast for Post-Status, a website with news and information for WordPress professionals. Today I've got a special edition of the show for you. I had a chance to sit down with Matt Mullenweg during Contributor Day of WordCamp US, and we talked about some of the announcements and his state of the word. We mostly talked about the new WordPress development cycle, which is a big shakeup for how WordPress gets made, but we covered a few other interesting topics as well, where Matt expanded on some recent news. This interview is also available on video, which you can check out on the website or on our new Post-Status YouTube channel, linked from the website. Subscribe there for more videos over the coming months. If you enjoy this podcast, you can get a lot more quality news and analysis from the Post-Status Club multiple times per week. Check out our current club members, site partners, and join the club on our website at poststatus.com/club. You'll be joining more than 800 wonderful club members, and you'll never miss important WordPress news again. Today I'd like to feature one of our partners, Valet. Unleash your site's potential with real-time metrics, intelligent recommendations, and a team dedicated to your success. Valet has a cool new service out called Valet Metrics, that's M-E-T-R-I-X, to help you get the most out of your website. Go to valet.io for more information about Valet, and Valet Metrics, that's Valet, M-E-T-R-I-X.com, to check out their newest offering. Thanks to Valet for being a Post-Status partner. Now, here's our show. All right. So, Matt, you just delivered the State of the Word yesterday for 2016. Yeah. Do you feel relieved?
This year was definitely trickier than previous years, because normally, if it's just a review of what happened the past year, it's pretty easy, because it happens. So I'm just saying what happens. But this year really tried to put a vision and a sort of roadmap for what the next few years will look like, possibly even the next 5 years.
Yeah, this was the first time that the core development process has been significantly changed since WordPress 3.7, 3.8, right?
Yeah, right around there.
That was a minor change compared to this.
Yeah.
So
that's why I tried to put sort of look 5 years back and sort of say what went well, what can we improve.
And in that 5 years, we roughly doubled market share for WordPress. So is that the goal for the next 5 years?
That would be pretty awesome. You know, already our growth so far, I said it was unprecedented. There is no other example of any CMS on the web ever reaching where we reached. So much more reason to not squander the opportunity that we have to really move the web forward.
So one of the changes was to get rid of major releases based on the current cycle, where you take feature projects and whatever's ready, you put it into the 4 month release cycle. And now you've decided to structure major releases on three core components. Can you describe why you came up with what those components would be?
It's probably easiest to think of it not in terms of releases, but in terms of development focus. So where before a developer would be focused on a date, now we want them focused on these three areas. The REST API, using the REST API, and not just getting it in. The editor, and broadly customization.
And with those features, I guess what made those primary to you? Do you see them as threats to WordPress if they're not done well, or is it because they're, other than the REST API, the other two are very interface centric? What's your thinking about why those are primary?
I don't think these three areas were really a surprise to anyone, because if you've ever helped a friend set up WordPress, like informal user testing, if you've ever done formal user testing, with all the data that I see on WordPress.com, with all that I hear from talking to hundreds and hundreds of users at WordCamps, like these are the major roadblocks that people hit. They run into the editor and get frustrated by the editor, or they want to do things on the page that the editor doesn't really support, have richer elements. And then, of course, customization more broadly. And this was actually brought up to me a lot, something that Helen helped me understand over the past few months, that 2017 is beautiful, but to make it look like the demo is going to be beyond most people, if we're honest with ourselves. It's possible, but not easy. And so we want to make the important things, we want to make hard things possible and easy, wait, I messed that up. Hard things possible, easy things possible? Something like that. The most important things very easy to do, And then maybe the things that don't happen as much possible for developers or more advanced folks, but we don't need to build all that into the interface.
You called content blocks your white whale.
called the editor my white whale.
The editor your white whale. And you seem to be attracted to the content blocks concept, which was a core feature project that was explored and didn't really get beyond that too much. Do you see content blocks or a concept like that as a future direction for the editor?
I think it's the most interesting thing we've talked about so far. Each of these focus areas, I want to be design-led. So it's very possible that as we dig into this through a design thinking process, that a new concept comes up I've never thought of before. That's even better. But from everything out there, it appears like we have the ability in WordPress to vastly simplify and flatten many of the concepts that we have floating around. So for example, you're old school. Remember how we used to have a whole menu item for links?
Yeah.
It was basically just for blog roll.
Mm-hmm.
That basically just changed one widget.
Right.
That sort of went into a widget. I think widgets can go away. I think menus can go away. Like a lot of these things that are separate can essentially be just different elements that you can put in a post, you can put in a page, or you can put in like a layout builder that that is kicked off by a theme, but then allows you to really customize what's at different parts of the page much easier than you can today. I don't know, you probably do WordPress support for your friends, right?
I do.
Themes often get you 90% of the way there. But there's usually something in every theme that annoys someone. So they say, like, I don't want the author image after the post. You and I, we write some CSS, we fix it. But if you can't do that, very frustrating. And I've seen people switch themes because of things like where categories are before or after the post, or just very basic stuff. That's silly. You shouldn't need to do that. That should just be like another block that's there or not.
Yeah. One of the things that has tended to happen with feature projects is we start with designs or at least some sort of wireframe concept, and then we have to roll things back or figure things out as technical challenges get in the way. So if we're fully design-led on these features, as the project lead, how are you going to decipher this is worth maybe breaking back compat or maybe making a sacrifice from a development point of view in order to get a superior user experience through the design?
I'm absolutely certain that both for editor and customizer, we will break back compat. The question is what's on the other side of it worth it? Often if we've started out ambitiously and rolled it way far back to get it into this 4-month release cycle, often it's not worth it to break backwards compatibility. I believe by the other big change is making this the main focus of development. With this release cycle, no matter what we said about feature plugins or feature projects, they were always sort of second class. The core developers were not working on them or paying them the same attention that they were to core. So now by removing the pressure of a core WordPress release, just saying it's not going to happen for a while. I'm sure there'll still be some bug fixes and some ongoing maintenance that happens. Maybe a security thing will pop up that we'll need to do. But really, we're saying, like, if you're not working on one of these three things, it's not that important.
Yeah.
And let's really focus in as a community.
The way that I referenced that in the wrap-up post that I did was I said that, you know, some people have worked on feature projects have had criticism of the process. And so the answer is actually to not even double down, but like triple down on the feature project.
Or 10x in them, yeah.
Right. So, but the main criticism is actually, like you said, you kind of get this isolated, small group of people committed, and you don't necessarily get all the stakeholders that need to be involved. So as part of the...
Then it kind of happens twice.
Yeah.
We've seen this several times before where, even with MB6, it got to a point where everyone working on it thought it was ready. And then a whole new set of people came in and said, this doesn't match what I think.
Yeah.
You're like, ah. So you kind of started the development from scratch again. It wasn't that useful. So
are you hoping that this will alleviate some of those issues because you'll have more people involved from the get-go?
Absolutely. And there'll be, you know, just like by elevating their priority, and also making them the driver of the release rather than vice versa. I think it gets people involved early in the process. I'm also going to be bringing some folks over from Automattic with me, some JavaScript gurus and folks like that. Much like in 3.7, when I work on a, when I lead a release, bring a lot of folks along with me. That's one of my superpowers.
So how many people are working on core at Automattic today, and then how many will be working on it?
Between community and core stuff, I believe we have 19 or 20 people full time. They're dedicated, so on the teams that work on that stuff. This should bring in more.
Haven't decided yet.
Well, it depends. If you take people who do part-time contributions, the number of folks are actually much higher. So I think some of this will be expanding the people currently contributing part-time to be full-time, and bringing over some folks who have worked on similar areas, like the editor in Calypso. So that could be another 15 or 20 people easily.
So these will be working, all three of these projects will be going in parallel. Mm-hmm. And then there's the regular stuff, you know?
Well, I said that REST API and editor will happen in parallel. I think that the customization should happen after the editor, because it's essentially a superset of what the editor is going to do, but the editor problem is harder because it needs to be backwards compatible with arbitrary HTML, which is a necessary backwards compatibility to be able to take any chunk of HTML and figure out what to do with it. If we started from scratch with a sort of theme editor, I don't think we necessarily built that as our first thing. We'd probably try to create like a different JSON representation of a theme or do something like the page builders do.
Do you think it'll be sufficiently different groups of people to be able to kind of spread out the work? Since it's like doing two major releases at once, which 3.7, 3.8 kind of had that. Mm-hmm. But other than that, there hasn't really been a release where
you keep saying release. It's not a release. It's all about the functionality and the feature. That's what's leading it.
It's hard to get used to. We've been doing this for a while.
We've been doing it for 14 years. Yeah, it's been always been very release driven. And releases aren't the most important thing anymore.
Is this a road towards automatic updates for core bug fixes and stuff that...
Well, we already do automatic updates for minor releases. So I expect we'll have a number of minor releases over the year. You know, as we identify issues, as we improve maybe accessibility, make bug fixes, small things. One thing that was talked about earlier, we're at Contributor Day right now, as I love the idea of getting upcoming events, including WordCamps and meetups, into the dashboard alongside the news feed. Because mm-hmm. I think getting more people to, especially meetups, is awesome for everyone. Like, it really grows the community, because as we know, that's kind of the gateway drug into WordCamps and volunteering and everything else. So that could be a minor update.
Let's talk about the REST API for a second.
Sure.
You mentioned yesterday about the success metrics that both we laid out, and mm-hmm. disclosure, I wrote that post, but also just kind of the data that we have right now.
Yeah.
We might not be capturing all of the REST API usage out there, but yeah. We're counting things in the thousands when WordPress is in the millions or tens of millions. And one of the things you said is that if we can't figure out the right way to make it all work together, mm-hmm. maybe one day it would be better off in a plugin.
Sure.
So how would you define success for the REST API as we move forward, like say over the next year, 2 years?
There's lots of ways to do it. And I think that that's a conversation we should keep having. That's why even before the State of the Word, I put my feedback and thoughts there into the core REST API Slack channel so that it could be kind of part of that discussion and everyone could think about it. Yeah, there's a few ways. One thing that's kind of obvious is we have XML RPC. Mm-hmm. Right now, the REST API usage is a small fraction of XML RPC usage. It should be bigger. If it's better, I think it's better, you think it's better, right?
Yeah.
It should be bigger.
how are we tracking that to know REST API usage versus XML RPC? Because most of what I've seen is self-reported. Do you have data on that from hosts? Or?
I do on .com, okay. Obviously. I think have it for... maybe you can get from Jetpack sites as well.
Okay.
So that's a pretty good sampling. Also because .com doesn't have authentication things that we need to do first. It's pretty good.
When you reference that, is that services that connect through XML RPC?
Things that post to WordPress.
There is a different side of the REST API that XML RPC doesn't really have, which is, you know, site building but not using the WordPress templating engines and things like that.
So different sides of it, you can look at different metrics. So for the posting stuff, the CRUD operations, usage of those CRUD operations should be at least more than XML RPC.
Sure.
And a good way to get there is actually getting WP Admin using it. Mm-hmm. Which is why I suggest that as probably the most impactful thing that we can do. If WP Admin uses the REST API, it will never be removed from core.
Yeah.
If it is just sort of vanity agency projects that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, took months to build, and are a one-off theme for like the Guggenheim or something, that probably should be a plugin, to be honest.
Is there a level of success that the REST API could reach where you would then feel like it's worthwhile for WordPress.org playing a role as a broker or authentication central?
So that's a separate issue, which is actually related to the news cycle that just happened where like WordPress is insecure because of updates. Mm-hmm. WordPress.org is a single point of failure, or access for things is every time we do that, we take on a large burden. It's invisible to most people. Because that burden is usually done by a few people, myself included, paying for it all. That's one thing. Our systems folks, or everything else. For updates, the benefit far outweighs the cost, and that we're able to push new versions of WordPress and secure them very, very quickly. And we do everything we can to make sure that centralized thing that pushes it is secure. Around authentication, the benefits are more niche, right? If we're doing this sort of broker thing, like, and there's more policing. So for updates, the only person we have to police is the person pushing the update. It's a dozen people.
Yeah.
For this apps thing, we essentially need to, for it to work, to revoke apps and things like that, you need to monitor and know whether an app is abusing its tokens.
More similar to what the Apple App Store has to do.
Yeah.
And maybe at that scale.
Hopefully at that scale.
Yeah.
You know, as we get SSL and OAuth2 and other things in core, it might also not be necessary. A big benefit of that is a single endpoint versus people having to put in the URL first as part of the user experience for connecting to the site. But to be honest, you have to put in the URL first for XMRPC today. So as we replace all the things built on XMRPC with REST, assuming we can, that isn't really an additional cost. It's just different API, same issue. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. And
also, finally, themes. You know, there's the read-only stuff that's part of the REST API. Let's get some awesome themes built on it. Yeah. You know, the stuff that like a Quartz or some of the other sites do. Let's have that be a theme that anyone can download and free and available.
And .org can play a role there too.
Yeah,
because it's obviously you're under different standards when you're building a theme that maybe doesn't even really use PHP.
Totally. And in fact, we already did that. Remember? I think earlier this year or last year, I said. Content API-driven, REST API-driven themes are okay. They're exempted from the other things.
Yeah,
I haven't actually followed
up to see if anybody submitted one yet.
As far as I know, no. So, but this was part of the issue that we've had, is that with the REST API, it's like, oh, well, we can't, this doesn't exist because it's not allowed in the directory. Okay, it's allowed in the directory, so it doesn't exist.
We probably got to get the word out a little bit better about
WP Admin, though. You know, I said, I think that before we bring an API in, we should use it ourselves, because you'll learn a lot about it. We ended up not doing that. But when I said that, everyone was like, oh, that's super easy. And we had a bunch of demos. Like Ryan did a cool one, Elle did a cool one, that like within like an hour or two in a very short amount of code did something that should be able to replace part of WP Admin with the API. None of those shipped in 4.7, even though the demos were all ready 2 months ago. This tells me the API has something wrong with it. End of story. And we don't know what it is yet. We will fix it by using it.
Mm-hmm. And I agree, it's important that it gets attention and it deserves scrutiny that some other features don't have, because if it stays, it'll play a larger role than a lot of other features.
Well, hopefully it's the way that WordPress itself runs, mm-hmm. you know? especially when you imagine a future WP admin that looks a lot more like Calypso than it does WP admin. Starting to use the API ourselves and shifting to mobile apps and Calypso to use the API gets us there, right? If the WP admin is truly an application talking to APIs versus loading a bunch of PHP pages.
Do you think the WP admin needs to be a single page application someday?
I think it needs to be fast. I think it needs to be responsive. I think that lends itself to single page applications. Maybe there's something else in the future. But if you look at the speed and user experience of what's possible in Calypso versus what's possible in WP admin, yeah, it's 100 times better. And things that we're able to consider, like offline support, are literally unimaginable in the WP admin framework.
With the new structure, you said that you were going to be stepping back into this lead developer role in a way that you haven't done in a while.
Yeah.
What was the last release that you led?
3.7, where we brought in the new admin.
3.7, it's like a theme. So 3.7 with the new admin. And over the past year, we've talked a couple of times about the various responsibilities that you have and mm-hmm. the amount of time that takes and the amount of people reporting to you.
Yeah.
And with this, it puts a lot of weight on your shoulders as the product lead to help drive this stuff forward.
Yeah.
So how do you see balancing these things with all your other jobs?
So what I'm doing is essentially increasing the overlap a lot.
Okay.
So two things have happened. One, the team at Automatic has grown amazingly, including some leaders that we saw at WordCamp, like John Maeda. Marketing, we have Chris Taylor, Catherine Stewart, who is here, who work with very closely, Andrew Spittle. So like the exec team has started to grow, and so they can handle a lot more stuff. Two is that the editor and the customizer, right now the customizer is the one thing that's the same on .org and Calypso. So improvements there can benefit both. I think the editor and customization are the biggest issues in WordPress, period. Doesn't matter what's after the dot, right? WordPress as a whole, these are the biggest issues. If we solve them for one, I think it solves for the other. So that's why I feel fine making it my focus and also bringing a lot of Automatic resources over to fix this for everyone. And that's why I want to be core first as well, because to be honest, Calypso gives you so much stuff for free. It's a really great environment to develop in. As I learned with my first pull request to it on Friday, it was just very easy to do. Like, there was so much. If we built it there first, it would probably take an equal amount of time after that. If it took a year to do, it would take another year to get in the core. Versus going the other direction. If we take a year to get in core, probably come in Calypso within a few weeks.
So this is the second year of WordCamp US in Philadelphia.
So cool.
And we're headed to Nashville in 2017.
A little southern...
Yeah, we'll feel at home. what's been your favorite part about moving to the WordCamp US concept compared to what we had with WordCamp San Francisco? And really, WordCamp US, it is the one where you do the State of the Word. And it's the WordCamp, but at the same time, these other regional WordCamps, which is a word that's coming into use now, so WordCamp Europe and others, are also just growing a ton. So what do you think about that, and what do you think the role WordCamp US will play moving forward will be in that context?
Yeah, it's the keystone event for the year. I like that it's at the end of the year, because it gives us an opportunity to both reflect on what's happened and, you know, chart a course for what's coming. So that's really important. What I like most about this new model is it's just a bit more explicit. San Francisco was the WordCamp US. Mm-hmm. It was the WordCamp world, really. It's like the big one. But we kind of outgrew the venue. Mm-hmm. And San Francisco's got really expensive over the past decade.
Really?
Yeah. So
all these startups or something over there that don't have remote work.
I love being able to explore new places. Philadelphia I'd been to before, but I've never spent this much time in Philadelphia. So just getting to learn it has been very cool. Nashville, I have never been to before. So spending probably...
That was clear when you said there's not barbecue in Nashville, or the hot chicken is more important. Me and Otto were talking about this last night, saying there has to be barbecue at WordCamp US.
In addition to hot chicken?
Oh, yeah. These are not mutually exclusive concepts.
Okay. Well, you know, I've been to Memphis a million times.
Right.
And used to do the barbecue fest every year there with Otto. So I'm looking forward to spending a few weeks over the next 2 years in Nashville. Mm-hmm. So,
awesome. Well, look forward to seeing you there, and congratulations on another successful event in
Thanks.
Philadelphia.
Good one.
Thanks. Cool. Appreciate it.
No problem. I feel like you had people helping you before and they all left.
Yeah, I hope things kept recording.
Bye, Post Status.